What are these mechanisms of international cooperation? Well, we have treaties and conventions. They are perceived by many as being too slow for the urgency of problems we confront. The Kyoto Protocol was negotiated in 1997, but was ratified only in 2005. And the U.S., the largest emitter of global warming gases, then declined to participate. The United Nations Treaty on Marine Fish Management went into force in December of 2001, but 15 out of 20 top fishing nations had not ratified it. These treaties tend to be lax, and they tend to be very slow on issues of enforcement. Intergovernmental conferences have taken place in places like Rio on the environment, Kyoto on climate change, Copenhagen, the social summit of 1995, Cairo, Beijing, and so on. They have been a permanent feature of the international cooperation landscape in the last few decades, generally under the sponsorship of the United Nations. However, as noted by someone, they tend to be ritualistic. They're long on declarations. There is very little follow-up. There are promises to look at issues again. They're good for raising awareness, but they tend to be weak in terms of problem solving. The G7, created in the mid-1970s to discuss, quote, major economic and political issues facing their domestic societies and the international community as a whole, unquote, are another locus of international cooperation. There are, however, serious issues of process and legitimacy. The communiques tend to be negotiated weeks in advance. They present very good photo opportunities, but there is no brainstorming in them, as was the case in Bretton Woods, for instance, in 1944, the conference that gave rise to the new international financial system, and in particular the creation of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Furthermore, whether the G7 or the G20, created more recently, have an issue of legitimacy. When the G20 was created, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Spain, three very important economies for different reasons, were not part of them. The Netherlands is probably the world's most generous donor. Spain is an economy that exceeds in size all of sub-Saharan Africa put together. In Switzerland, a good chunk of the world's private wealth is managed, and yet, you know, they did not have a seat at the table. Furthermore, whether the G7 or the G20, they tend to be official organizations. They bring together around the negotiating table bureaucrats, civil servants. Civil society is not represented, and is neither the business community. And this is significant because, at least among political scientists, there seems to be a recognition that going forward, major initiatives of international cooperation are going to have to be involving not just government, but also civil society and the business community. Multilateral organizations have been another area or locus of cooperation. These organizations are important repositories of specialized knowledge through decades of operational work. But their jurisdiction is often very sharply circumscribed and sometimes manipulated by larger shareholders. They are poorly resourced. Some of them, such as the WTO, the World Health Organization, the International Labor Organization, have relatively small budgets compared to the responsibilities that they have. So it has been the case that sometimes these organizations have been used as scapegoats against the rising complexity of the world, and their legitimacy has sometimes been questioned.